Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast. Once again, I'm your host, David Crennan. I'll be the GM for the game today. As usual, we'll be joining a handful of professional improvisers slash comedian types as they attempt to keep their outcasts and exiles alive on the edge of the galaxy while being pursued by the Empire. Also joining us this time for the first time, we've got a new player, Matt Cook. If you listen to Crit Juice, my other podcast, you recognize him as Darjeeki, the sorcerer. In this game, he'll be playing a little bit of a different character. One final note, the audio quality in this podcast is a little lower than the previous podcast. We are transitioning to a new audio system, so just bear with us for the time being. All right, guys, that's it. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
That's right. So once again, we're going to sit down. We're going to play through the Star Wars RPG, the awesome, awesome game system with five cool, cool bros and broettes. Right? So we've got, you guys just want to go around and say your name and I guess who you're playing. We'll start with the handsomest side.
So I'm Gary Soldati. I am playing MJ, the assassin, the human assassin. Think of Ron Perlman, physique and speech patterns.
I'm Andrew. I'll be playing Gippy Bindu, who is a Mon Calamari, aka Admiral Akbar type politico. He's extremely old and extremely overweight, about 400 pounds.
I'm Jeanette. I play Lorik, the agreeable Wookiee. He thinks life is pretty okay. He's a team player.
Hey, I'm Tom Fons. I play Dam, who is a droid mechanic with sort of underworld smuggling ties. And Dam stands for Decryption Android Aeronautical Mechanic and Navigator.
Hi, I'm Matt Cook. I'm going to be playing RXO, or Rocco. He's an RX droid, and he has a friend with him, kind of like a beast companion is the easiest way to relate it to D&D style terms. Mm-hmm. But the RX piloting droids are most notably found in the original Star Tours. And this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And this one was working for a smuggler for a long time and then eventually realized that he could do a much better job as a smuggler on his own and took off. And, he's found a beast companion that he's paid, okay. We think.
What happened to his human minders? Are they still with us or do we not ask questions about the collection of like, severed ears around.
Rock is pretty brutal.
Okay. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
And your beast companion?
Is a Talz, which is the kind of the abominable snowman looking types. Most notably Muftok, who can be found in the cantina scene in A New Hope. Four eyes, little like noisemaker hanging out for a mouth.
Yeah.
This one's got pink fur and four really dark blue eyes. Like they look black, but every now and then if the light catches them, you see they're like really dark blue.
That's great. Well, we can obviously you're a Star Wars fan if you're busting out.
I hate it. No, I love it. I'm a huge fan.
Okay, great. What's your personal history with Star Wars? What do you say? What's your favorite movie?
Oh God, it changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it changes every year.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Star Wars.
Good. That's right. Excellent. We're gonna get right into it here. Before we do, some of the feedback I've got from people who've been listening is people go, "Love the podcast. What is this game you're playing?" It's not quite as common as I think D&D. So it goes by several names. Is first of all what's kind of confusing. Edge of the Empire.
It's demonic.
Well, no.
I mean, it goes by several names.
Well, so it's called Edge of the Empire is the first core rule book they came out with, but there's two other core rule books that have totally different names. There's Age of Rebellion, and then there's Force and Destiny, which is coming out at some point here in 2015, I think. But they all have the exact same mechanic. They each have their own core rule book, and they focus on a different part of the galaxy. So I usually just call it the Star Wars RPG system. So it uses dice, like most RPGs, but unlike most RPGs, the dice don't have numbers. Instead, they've got symbols on them. So there are four basic symbols that we talk about in the game. Success and failure, advantage and threat. Success and failure cancel each other out. Advantage and threat cancel each other out. The good symbols, success and advantage, are found on these dice, green and yellow dice. The green are sort of like your regular dice, and the yellow ones are kind of like your special, I'm pretty fucking good at this dice. Purple and red dice have the bad symbols on them. Purple's kind of like the sort of tough, and the red one's like, oh shit, there's a red dice in there. So the way it's played is basically the players are like, I'm this good at something. I have these green and yellow dice. And I, as the GM, I say, well, this is this hard to do. here's the purple and red dice. And you put those all together, you roll them up, and then you just tally up the symbols. So you go success and failure, cancel out. Advantage and threat, cancel out. Whatever you're left with is either success or a failure, or an advantage or a threat. What that means is you can have a success that generates threat, or you can have a failure that generates advantage, right? Or any other combination. And so the game is kind of like, the core of the game is kind of figuring out what that result means. And it kind of, you'll see it comes up in a lot of different mechanics.
So rather than I move to strike, I hit, I miss, it's...
It has that hard mechanic of, yes, that was a success, you hit, or no, that was a failure.
It's cool that you could hit, but it still ends up being bad. Like something, not bad, but it's cool that there's more than one outcome to every move.
Right, so like you hit him, but you generate a bunch of threats, so you shoot the guy and he falls backwards onto like the alarm panel or something like that, and a bunch more stormtroopers come running out.
Or you
miss him, but you generate advantage, so maybe you hit the blast controls and like the doors close and whatever. Okay, so there's also two other special symbols that come up, triumph and despair. So triumph is like the absolute best thing that can come up. It means something really good happens no matter what else happened.
Alderaan's back.
So even if you fail, if you roll a triumph, you can still fail, but like also something amazing happens. Despair is the exact same. Something terrible happens. Even if everything else was a success and a bunch of advantage, something shitty still happens. That's about it. So the last thing is characters have wounds, like they've got their actual hit points, which is usually around 10 or 15. And then there's strain, which is like your endurance. But if it ever hits zero, you pass out.
Yeah.
The last die that comes into play is the force dice, but we'll talk about him a little bit later. We don't need to get into that now, but it has its own special rules. So the last thing before we get started, beginning of this month, we did a giveaway. We're going to do these every month. So if you're listening, follow us on Twitter and like wait for instructions or check out the Facebook page or at NTMTO podcast. It's the worst Twitter handle ever. I tried like every combination.
At NTMTO.
NT.
Yep. NTMTO.
Never tell me the
at
podcast. Oh, yeah. So, Asaka So is the name of the guy, won this. Some dice. We're going to be playing with these tonight. And we're going to give you the game dice that we were playing with.
Hey,
so
thanks for listening.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Asaka So is also getting this decal. Never tell me the odds decal, which will go nice on your car or whatever.
Or
you can throw it out. No, you guys don't get that. And then you also get a picture of, if you guys were listening, Jonathan Doopy, which I photoshopped. wishing us all good luck.
Is that a turkey colored green with Samuel L. Jackson's head painted on it?
Uncooked turkey.
So you're going to get that, Asaka. So thank you for following us. Everyone else, keep following us. Tweet at us. We're going to be doing celebrity suggestions from people on Twitter as the game goes along.
Great.
So join, hop on the Twitter feed and tweet us celebrity suggestions, and it'll be great. I was going to cue the Star Wars music, but I just realized.
Part the blast doors. Of reality.
Yes, I should.
Amazing.
Well, I can't do it right now because I don't have it queued up. But someone starts singing the Star Wars theme.
Hey, how about Darth Vader in that black and evil mask? Did he scare you as much as he scared me?
Wow! Star Wars, please let these Star Wars stay. Bill Murray, right? You were there. It happened. I sang. Come on, move on.
That was great.
I know I did.
I've never heard you sing. Allow me to screen wipe the veil of reality. Once again, it's time for Never Tell Me the Odds. Opening crawl. The yellow words start coming up over these stars. It is a time of turmoil on the edges of the Empire. Although the Death Star has been destroyed, the Empire's activities have grown more vigorous than ever, even disturbing the lawless Outer Rim. On Ord Mantell, a group of scruffy outlaws have reclaimed an ancient artifact, which finally promises to unveil its mysteries. However, our heroes are not the only ones who desire the artifact, as bounty hunters, thieves, and imperial troops scour the galaxy for any sign of it. Dot, dot, dot. Pan down to... Actually, so we pan down past the stars, pan down into darkness, blackness, and finally... past like a massive stone arch and then down through darkness again. And then we can see we're in a catacomb, a massive catacomb underground or in some huge stone structure. It's hard to say, but there's whatever it is. It's a massive, massive cavernous space and arches of stone and weird, almost like stone clockwork structures kind of form the ceiling and the background, and then the ground itself is just a broad expanse of stone, and Lorik, you are standing on it. And in front of you, you see a large circular metal vault door. It's made out of some sort of dark metal, and it's covered in a radiating pattern of, like, metallic leaves or scales radiate out from the center. And at the center, there's just a very simple, like, keyhole, almost. Something like that in the center of this massive vault door. You're standing 15 feet away from it. Coming up from behind you, you hear the kind of, like, gentle, like, tap, tap, tapping of the staff.
I reach out and I caress the surface of the door.
It feels very cold to your touch, and it feels like you're running your hand along the hide of some, you know, enormous scaled beast.
The tapping continues?
Yes.
Can I feel the tapping?
Well, the tapping is coming from behind you.
Oh, what? Turn around.
You see a looks like a man in robes, gray robes, his hood pulled up, with a staff thing. You recognize him. This is the same guy.
Yeah,
you had a dream or a vision before you guys got to Ord Mantell and met Doopy the first time. He stopped and he goes, Lorik, you've done well to get this far. And he throws back his hood, and you can see that it's Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman standing there.
Fifth Element Gary Oldman.
What's that?
Fifth Element Gary Oldman?
No, not Fifth Element Gary
Dracula
Oldman.
Dracula Gary Oldman?
Whoa. Oh, I hope not,
yeah,
man.
That's intense.
That's intense, Gary Oldman.
Professional Gary Oldman.
Red Dragon Gary Oldman. Burnt Victim.
Oh,
Gary
yeah,
Oldman.
No, not Burnt Victim.
Little Feet. Yeah, something. Little Feet. What was that?
No,
that
little movie. Person.
I True Romance Gary Oldman?
Take your pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a chameleon. He's amazing.
Freaking Harry Potter. Gary Oldman.
Yeah. There we go.
Black that's Sirius Radio.
Harry
Gary Oldman.
Potter.
Sirius Black.
Like, hi, Harry.
Series
fuck
black.
It, it's Jude Law.
Gary Oldman goes, that's quite a door. He says, raising one wry eyebrow as he gazes at the door.
I like doors.
There's always an obstacle, isn't there? The question is, Lorik, how will you get past this one?
It's true. I could need the key.
Well, what do you do now? There's always obstacles, Lorik. The question is, how do we overcome them?
Things work out.
Things work out when we need them to work out, when we make them work out. He kind of gestures for you to turn back to the door. What do you see?
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's metal. It's nice.
Behind you, Gary Oldman sadly shakes his head, but you don't see it.
Feels nice. It's got, I can't open it.
The Force has chosen the most passive member of our group.
Observing your surroundings is an excellent start. But one must not always observe. Sometimes one must act. Turning back to the door, Lorik, you notice that you can see sort of an inset stone panel with kind of like sliding blocks, kind of in the center around the keyhole.
I'm gonna start sliding those blocks around.
You place one of your giant furry pod mitts and start sliding blocks, and then you suddenly hear a click. You just like after you move one or two, and the thing sort of rotates in the center of the door like, and then all of a sudden, all of these kind of like long, thin metal scales suddenly shudder like they're bristling, and then
that looks pretty cool.
Flip out 90 degrees from the door, pointing towards you, points out, and then with the sound of 1,000 rushing arrows firing off of the door,
okay.
Just past you.
I hope this is a dream. I'm never touching anything.
You know, like a dozen come whisking past you,
okay.
Cutting through your hair. A couple start nicking you.
I'm freaking out.
And then it's done.
I'm still freaking out.
And then you notice that one is sticking right into your chest.
Oh.
I'm freaking out. More of a shock now.
You can feel it starting slowly to, like, it's stuck in you. And then you notice it's just slowly sliding in further of its own volition, like, driving itself in.
I literally lower his dream. It goes,
Gary Oldman rushes to your side and goes, take it out. Get it out. Hurry, Lorik. It'll kill you.
Grab it.
Yes. Take it out. It'll take more than strength. Focus your will. Don't fear. Don't fear. It's like you can, it's like you hear klaxons going off like a woo, woo, woo.
Okay, my
Quentin
Tarantino-esque
scene.
Dilating. But...
Don't fear, embrace the fear, face your fear, do not shirk from it. The pain, go through the pain, focus your will, Lorik. And it's driving itself closer and closer to your heart.
All right, I'm pulling pretty hard.
Okay,
and then
Gary Oldman's by your side and he's screaming, and then you wake up. And you sit bolt upright, and you feel an incredible pain in your chest, and you can see that you've got bandages all over your chest. In fact, we're picking up right after we left off last time, which is...
My epic save.
Epic.
So if you guys remember where we left off last time, it was high-speed speeder bike chase through the streets of Ord Mantell. You guys got this road in, got the satchel back from him that had the artifact in it. But at the same time, you're also picking a fight with two rival bounty hunters, and I'm pointing at Malcolm now, MJ, who had a bit of a rivalry with this tall, black-suited fellow
gun.
With the mask. Yeah, gun.
But he's dead now.
Lorik, you were helping him with it. Well, you never saw him die, but what you did do was launch a speeder bike
into it, yeah.
Yeah, up off a ramp, through the air, into the open ship hatch that the gun guy was shooting out of, which you were, and then you kind of saved gun Lorik from falling to his death.
Like the Hulk.
And in the process of which you both took too much damage, crashed the speeder bike when you passed out, and are only now waking up on board your own ship.
Hey!
And as you wake up, Lorik, you notice two things. One, the sirens you were hearing are actually going off in your ship this very moment. There's red lights on the side of the walls going off. Woo!
What did they do?
And second is that you're holding tight in your hand, your knuckles almost white around it, the artifact. The black...
Why is this here?
6 inches long, couple inches wide, single black stone with like really dark glyphs carved into it all the way up and down, spiraling up it. Damn.
Yes.
You're currently at the helm of the ship, and lights are going off everywhere because as you're piloting through space, and some, you know, distance behind you, you can see the beautiful blue marble of Ord Mantell in space, but rushing up out of it is a squad of four cloak-shaped fighters. They're just kind of a more primitive version of like the A-Wing, kind of a clunkier spaceship, that are flying up after you in formation, and their blasters are open fire on you. Choo, 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 choo! And they're attempting to strafe you and take you guys down out of the sky. You guys remember you fly around in a fire spray system patrol craft, which is what Boba Fett's ship was. So you guys are in that. You're at the helm. You've already just taken a hit. Lorik, you wake up to that and you kind of rush into the pilot cabin and you see what's going on. Damn, you're at the helm. And Malcolm, you also were injured, but you've kind of recovered at this point as well. So you both suffered critical injuries along with you, Gippy. You've also suffered critical injuries.
Yes.
Until you guys can get extended medical rest, like actual medical treatment with a Bacta tank and medical droids, you're going to have these critical injuries you're carrying around, which means any additional critical injuries you take are more severe and much more likely to end up killing you. Okay.
Gibby is asleep at this point, although he appears dead to all those around him.
How close are the enemy ships by me?
They're strafing you guys right now. They've just rushed overhead with a...
When I look out, is there... anything like an asteroid field or a nearby planet or anything.
Yeah, there's a at one point, so you guys are kind of like out beyond the initial orbit past the moon of Ord Mantell. There used to be a spaceport out here, but it was junked long ago, and now it's just a field of floating, slowly spinning debris. So there's like a large metal shell, and then there's some smaller metal bits, but it's basically the equivalent of like a small asteroid field, just a bunch of debris. And
I start heading that direction.
Is Adara with us?
No, Adara is not with you. Adara, you guys remember, or Adara Organa was...
Karen Allen.
Played by 1980s Karen Allen.
Wow.
Karen Allen's all right.
Yeah.
Karen Allen is...
perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is... she's playing Adara Organa.
I almost hit you.
She's a nightclub... she's truly amazing.
Yes.
This is 1980s version. So she did this right after she did...
Scrooge.
Yeah, right after Scrooge. You guys met up with her in the nightclub. Lucky Day Tula's, where she was a nightclub singer. That nightclub has now been blasted to pieces thanks to a mistimed thermal detonator explosion.
We sucked at that.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
Yes, because you blacked out after the explosion engulfed you in flame. Adara Organa is not with you. She was with you just kind of helping you track down these guys, but she, the only person who would remember this would be Dam, because all three of these guys were unconscious at the time. Okay. She helped you get their bodies into the ship and everything like that, and then she said, well... good luck with all this craziness, but you guys showed me the best time that I've known in the last 10 years.
Am I awake at this point or still not?
Lorik, you're awake and you're at the helm. Gippy, if you're awake or not, I don't know. Question is, are you in your quarters or are you at the helm?
I'll say that I'm at the helm, but also asleep.
So you're maybe too heavy to get all the way back to your quarters, so they just left you there.
Yeah.
And you're slightly...
I've been there for several hours.
And then Malcolm, you come limping out of your quarters as well at this point. You're also bandaged up, as well as Dam could probably help you out. As you come out, though, you do notice there's something weird and hard. Down the front of your pants.
It's bad.
First time.
You know, someone stuck something in your pants, and you actually pull out. It's the
artifact.
The five?
The fiver. It's Adara's slug thrower.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was so sweet of her. Yeah. You're basically engaged.
Yeah. There's like a little like note tied to it, just quickly around the bottom. This is something like, you know, like hang on to this for me. One side of the handle that goes against the palm has like, it's like, carved, would be like ivory. And so it's like, there's like a embossed image of just the silhouette of like a nudie lady. That's the part that's against your palm when you shoot it. Damn.
Yeah. I pat it towards the debris. I go, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. This shit's about to get real bumpy, so unless you have any means of getting rid of these bastards, buckle up.
You guys do have weaponry on board. First thing we have are stats for your ship, still unnamed.
That's how we named it the Doopy.
Was it the Doopy?
We did name it Doopy.
I mean, Doopy was dead. Oh, Doopy for your witches.
The Doopy 2.
I guess Doopy 1 is dead.
Let the record show that I'm shaking my head sadly. Okay, so the deal with it is, a lot of these numbers don't matter for you. The things that matter right now are hull trauma and system strain. The hull trauma goes to zero, your ship explodes and you die. Your system strain goes to zero, you're just dead in the water, floating and free to be boarded or raided or whatever. It has medium laser cannons on it. It also has a light tractor beam on it, which you can use to like kind of target or immobilize ships.
What's the heaviest thing it could pick up, this beam?
I mean, this could... like a land speeder or like debris, right. Something that's a
cargo.
Little, something that's smaller than the size of your ship. It's got like a backup set of weaker guns, auto blasters. So you've got those basically.
Yeah, I'll take care of this stuff, guys.
Throwing you the baptismal by fire, Matt Cook.
I love it. Let's start.
Throwing you right into this. Okay, so let's roll initiative.
Sweet roll, Jeanette.
This is your first roll of Matt Cook. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
So what is your vigilance?
Two green. Rolled.
From Matt Cook, we have one advantage. Tom Fons.
I got two successes and two advantages.
Two successes.
One success, one advantage.
Two success. Two advantage. I apologize, not success.
I'm going to run to the guns.
I'm going to spend my advantage to kind of wake up.
Okay, so Gippy starts to rouse. Lorik, you jump into the gunnery chair. So the helm, the cockpit of this thing is small. This ship's only designed to have about three people in it. So there's like the piloting chair and then like two side chairs, but there's like, you know, maybe a foot and a half between any of these things. You're like in an actual like airplane cockpit. There's like no real room to move around here.
I'm extremely comfortable.
Gip, you're taking up a huge amount of room, probably in one of these gunnery chairs.
Excellent.
I'm going to accelerate.
Okay, so you throttle up. Okay, Lorik, you jump in your chair. Are you trying to get a beat on one of these guys?
He is. Gunnery?
Gunnery, check it. Yeah, so two purples for these guys.
How many are there? Three?
Four of them.
Four.
You can see them. They're just flying. They're flying in like a little kind of tight formation. Like,
all right,
and they
see
look
one.
Sort of like big metal manta rays, tips of their things hanging down. And they've got like a little round pod in the front. They've just passed over the front of you. They're like circling around.
Oh. Triumph, one advantage, and a... failure.
So your triumph counts as one success in addition to being a triumph?
Yes.
So you have a total of zero successes?
But triumph. And okay. Two advantage.
And two advantage. This is where the game gets challenging. Okay, so you jump into your seat. You've got it kind of pivots around. You get like the whole little like monitor comes out.
I got him.
Okay, you open fire. So
don't get cut.
Thank you.
You get to interpret what your triumph means. It's a failure, so you don't do any damage to him.
I think it has more to do with my state. From waking up from that dream, because mm-hmm. It was a very lucid dream. I'm focused now. I'm super focused. Maybe I get a dice boost.
I will give you two boost die.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll two boost die in your next gunnery check.
Got it.
And for the listeners, they're like six-sided dice, and some have, like, some sides are blank. Two of the sides are just blank, so there would be nothing. And then some are success, some have advantage, some have two advantage. Like, it's a mix of things that can add. And then the setback are the same, but with bad things. That's really cool and scary.
All right, the cloak-shaped fighters come whisking around in a circle.
Every time you say whisking, I think they have like egg beaters, and they're just like.
It might be you can't see what's going on in there.
Don't stir too much.
you can see as they come rushing by. Damn, you see this? They've got Rodian clan markings on their wings. So they might be related to those smugglers.
Yes.
They come rushing around. Okay, so they're rolling 3 yellow dice on their attack versus 2 purples.
Dude, I played X-Wing and TIE Fighter and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Okay. So,
we're dead.
No, not too dead. So they do 7 damage.
With a 4 soak, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that comes in, hits you. Your 4 soak take a total of 3.
Okay. Soak is kind of a gross word for, like, taking damage.
Yeah, I agree. It's gross. I agree with everybody.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I have a lot of soak.
Gippy's got a ton of soak, yeah. Okay, you guys are hit. They pass overhead, and you can see them wheeling around behind you in the monitors, getting ready for another pass. They seem to be cocky in their approach here.
Cockier, how so?
They just start.
They're just talking a little louder. Yeah, they're cackling a little bit.
They played their hand. We know what they're capable of. We know where they're at.
You notice also as they kind of go wheeling by. You notice they have concussion missile launchers on board. Concussion missiles can do some damage. They bypass all of your armor when they hit you.
Okay.
So they could really blow you apart.
Where are we at in terms of the debris? Are we in the midst of it? No, we're not.
You're just on the edges of it. So you're just.
Okay. Have we seen all 4 ships now?
So they kind of just attack as one. And they look like they're staying together.
Does one stand out?
No, they're all like, they all look slightly different from each other. They're all.
So Gunn's dead. He would have a special ship if he were still alive. So.
It doesn't look like their ship that you saw too, by the way.
Great. MJ's gonna pick up his blaster rifle, say pick me up later, and he's gonna jump out a window.
There aren't really windows on spaceships.
There are now. He's gonna blow a hole in the side of the ship, and he's gonna.
Can somebody stop him before he does that?
I'm crazy.
Hold on, I'll stop him.
So that's the question.
That's amazing. Are you a redneck? Are you a redneck character?
Kinda.
Yeah,
bitches. What? So look at our ship.
Yeah.
I thought Gary's about to say, "How does space work?"
Yeah. You're wondering what can I do within the ship?
Okay,
because it's for 3 people.
That's a great question.
Jump out of it.
Yeah, definitely you can jump out. There are 2 weapon consoles.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call that? Tractor beam operating panel.
Uh-huh.
They could do. Like, you can do other things on the sensor. You can try and jam their sensors. You can spoof missiles. When people shoot missiles at you, you can kind of like...
Spoof them?
Spoof.
Like hire Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah. No, that's the term for, I don't know, that's an Air Force term for like chaffing it. Yeah, it's also known as spoof. So...
Decoys. I really hope you're wrong.
Wait. Siri, what is spoofing?
Oh, I hope it's something sexual.
This is a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Spoofing attack, number 1. Siri, you are awesome.
It's going to be Asian porn.
Yeah.
It is.
I spoofed her last night.
So I'm going to jump in the other gunnery seat.
Okay, that is the seat that Gippy's recumbent body is currently moaning in.
Okay, so then I'm going
to awaken me
till he wakes up and moves.
That could be forever.
All right, so I'm going to grab him.
So I let the record show that Andrew is showing that Gippy is blinking by putting his hands to the sides of his head and opening and closing them.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I think is very effective.
So I'm going to grab him out of the chair and jump in.
Okay. He's pretty heavy.
Yeah, but I'm pretty strong.
What is your brawn?
4.
You're pretty strong. Okay, that sounds good. You can shove this old man out of the chair.
I'm not trying to kill him. You know, he might be dead anyway.
Okay, you give him a push. You feel like a stitch in your, one of your recent stitches in your arm. Kind of.
Don't touch my flesh. I'm currently in my sloughing mode, where the top layer of my epidermis becomes a gelatinous goo, which has a 10% chance of driving you mad.
10%?
He's sleep talking.
With love.
With love.
You put your hands on Gippy and manage to shove him out, and he kind of roly-pulls his way out of the chair. But yeah, you take your hands are all sticky, and then the chair is all like, there's some gel left on
Egon, it. Egon, mucus.
Gunnery check?
Yeah.
Go ahead and get on that. But it is gross.
2 purple?
Yeah. Go ahead and roll that up.
Gah.
So that is 2 success and 1 threat.
You do 5 points of damage. You do generate some threat, which I think means your the gel congeals around you, and you're physically stuck in the sea at this point. Mm. Or he's got to roll his 10% chance.
Of going mad?
Mad with lust.
You smell like a seafood restaurant in Wisconsin.
Oh, oh my God. Okay, so you peg one of them across the link. Roxo?
Rocco.
Rocco
and Val emerge. And I don't know how perceptive the team is to this, but they were definitely trying to steal this ship.
Okay.
When all of a sudden these crazy creatures ran on in a panic and took off. Yeah.
So the ship was definitely in the one of the main starports on Ord Mantell, which is kind of a smuggler's paradise. Probably one of the guys who runs this starport. It's like not the most reputable. Someone was on the take and was like, yeah, we'll open it up for you.
Yeah.
So you guys were on board.
Rocco and Bal is the name of his beast companion. Rocco kind of holds off and you see the towels dive in. And I don't know if this is possible, but they would like to attempt to boost the engine.
Yeah.
To kind of get a little extra spice. Like it's very clear that we're under attack, right?
Definitely.
So I'm going to make a mechanics roll.
Okay.
To see if I can put a little extra fire in the engines.
Sounds good. Do two purple on that.
Two purple?
Yep. Standard difficulty.
Ooh. I don't know what any of it means.
So these two guys cancel each other out.
Okay.
Leaving you with...
advantage.
One advantage and no successes, which means it's a failure.
Okay.
But you got some advantage on it.
Great. The beast, like, rips open a hatch.
Yeah.
And starts tinkering.
Yeah, and so you're a few wires. You've unplugged a few wires before you realize, oh, I've never seen this engine before in my life. I don't know what this is. Good news is... you kind of figure out, oh, no. It's just like, oh, yeah, okay. It's like that other thing. I know where I am now. I'll give you a boost on your next roll. The rest of you guys see this happen. Lorik, you're over at the gunnery computer.
I'm really focused right now, so it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, you're pretty focused in, so you maybe don't even notice it.
Pew, pew. Space, pew. Three advantage and one success. How Armor about my two. Advantages? I ignore their soap. I shoot through the glass and I kill the pilot.
Shoot the glass.
Didn't explode.
I like it.
Really focused. I had a weird dream and I just shoot a guy in the face.
Yeah. So yeah, you're just like, and you're like, I don't even need this targeting computer. And then you just see it, like, he comes by and you squeeze those triggers and then just, and for a moment, Erodian's going, and then there's like some practical effects, special effects of sparks shooting out, and then the plane goes, and then slams into a chunk of, like, orbiting debris, a huge sheet of metal with, like, girders sticking off of it, slams into that, explodes, and that girder starts going, and just, like, spins off and, like, slams into another thing, and that starts spinning around.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in again next week for the next episode. And until then, remember, never tell me the odds.